Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored to introduce you to today's guest, and that guest is Todd. Todd is on a mission to revolutionize company culture and leadership. He does this by adding more value to others than he receives. He works on turning Mondays into Fridays. He's a certified Maxwell Leadership speaker, coach, teacher, and trainer, and is also certified in DISC and DEI. Thank you so much for being here today, Todd. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Well, it's great to be on, Dr. C. I'm looking forward to our conversation. Should be a good podcast.
I think so too. And I would love for you to just share your journey, how you got here today, and then we can dive a little bit deeper.
Sure. Well, my full background really, I did a lot of work in the nonprofit world, teaching, high school coaching. But about 6 years ago, I was introduced to the John Maxwell leadership team. Attended an event and just was like smitten by leadership and all the great things that can happen, how it impacted me along my journey. Got involved in part-time consulting while I was having a full-time job, that side gig, you know, kind of thing. And then about 2 years ago, I looked at my calendar and my consulting business was consuming all my vacation and free time. And I'm like, what am I going to do here? And I made the decision at age 63 to become a full-time solopreneur. So about a year and a half ago, I pulled the plug, and I've been doing that ever since and really focusing on company culture and leadership. So I've been enjoying the journey, learning a lot, getting a chance to meet a lot of like people, meet a lot of great people like you.
Yes, no, and it's so great to connect with you because I think what you've been able to accomplish is amazing. And I think it's something that isn't really talked about as much as I think it should be, but when it comes to leadership and company culture as well, because that I think that is such a foundation piece of everything. Obviously, you can speak more to that. I would love for you to just dive into that a little bit.
One of my favorite expressions is culture eats vision. So one of the things I do is I do strategic planning for companies and businesses and all, but if you don't have the right culture in place, you could spend a lot of money and a lot of time developing all these great KPIs and whatever you want to call them, goals, strategies, smart goals, and they don't mean anything. You don't get anywhere if you don't have the right culture where people really appreciate being with each other. Work doesn't have to be like fun, but it should be a place that when it's Monday morning and that's your first day of the week, you don't mind going into work. I try to turn, you know, Mondays into Fridays, that same kind of attitude, like people, you know, you kind of look forward to it and get back with the people that you work with and that whole engagement. And that's what I do with some work in generational differences too. And really the Gen Z generation and the next generation after them, they're looking for meaningful engagement, not just coming in, punching a clock, doing their tasks, getting yelled at, and then going home at night and dumping it all on their spouse or goldfish or dog, whatever the case might be. So really creating an environment in the workplace that where people enjoy working, where it's meaningful.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of it, right? A lot of our time and energy is spent at work, or if we're building a business, like all that energy that's going into it, you want to enjoy it. You want to be excited for Mondays. I love Mondays personally. So like when I had read that in your bio and you saying it again, now I'm just like, yes, it's true. Like I love Mondays because I love what I do. But I think a lot of people do struggle with that if they don't have the company culture, they don't have that engagement. And I love that you work with the different generations as well of being able to bring that engagement. And what does that look like when you're working with these different organizations and companies?
Well, you know, one thing I was thinking about, so I'll confess, I watch American Idol.
And
it seems like there's a lot of younger folks singing this year. And there was this one young lady, she turned 17 while she was going through the journey of the show, and she sang last night. And it was unbelievable, her skills that she brought to the table. And she's 17, for crying out loud. And I'm thinking, well, it's relative to the workplace too, because those people coming in the workplace at 21, 22, 23, or creating their own environment, their own entrepreneurship, there's a lot of skills that people have. But oftentimes, those of us in the workplace who've been around for so long think we have all the answers and we've always done it this way. But I like the whole concept of reverse mentoring. And I learned that from Tim Elmore, where younger people in the workplace mentor more experienced people, I was going to say older, but more experienced people in the workplace. And what a great way to create that bond and that engagement by having young folks and their experiences and their skills that they bring to the table, work with folks who have a different set of skills and bringing their strengths together and really forming a much stronger team and being much more productive as well.
Yes, no, I could definitely see that because it is bringing people together, different perspectives, because a lot of times I know I'm a little stubborn, but I'm open to other like ideas and things along those lines. But that's what makes us better too, because we don't have all the answers as much as we might have a lot of experience, which is wonderful, but being able to take different experiences and bring them together. And I love that you're able to really bridge that for companies and the culture piece of understanding everyone has something to offer. And just like what you're saying with the girl that saying last night that was 17, she has the ability, she has different skill sets, and just being able to match that with the workplace of the skill sets that we all possess and how do we really merge that together so everybody wins at the end of the day. And that's what I'm hearing from you as well.
Yeah. And now that I'm looking then at, you know, if you could look at generational differences, that's one element of that, but then also looking across different business lines in the organization. So I've created culture teams for businesses and organizations, and it's a cross representation of all departments, different age groups, different experience groups, and we get those people together to talk about what do we want the values of our business to be, what do we want our culture to be like, what sort of recognition do we want to do, how do we want to find out for our employees, how do we want to survey them to find out, you know, what's on their minds in the workplace. But that, you know, diversity takes on a lot of different meanings. And obviously there's racial and culture, but there's also the generational and across different work lines, because everybody can help each other. There's, you know, some of us are maybe stronger, but let's bring all the strengths of all the people together. Let's come up with an even greater solution for our workplace.
I do think it's just generational gaps aren't talked about as much. I know like different aspects of business and work have been talked about, but I love that we're talking about this because I do think there's so many different lines that need to come together to make something great, but knowing where the gaps are and how we close that. And I love that it sounds like you go in there and you close those gaps and bring awareness to different things as well.
We're working on it. I've been smacked in the side of the head too. I'm closer to 100 than zero. You know, you can certainly tell by the call here, but so we had a younger generation person come in that we hired to work, great skills. And we'd have a staff meeting and I'd watch her and she'd have her laptop out, you know, and she'd have her phone out and she's kind of doing stuff. And I'm, you know, so we'd have the meeting would get over, and it happened a couple times, and it was really bothering me because I'm like, why isn't she focused? Well, once I asked some of the other coworkers and then talked to her, she's actually was doing some research for whatever the topic was we were talking about, whether it was a business where I was in the chamber world, whether it was a business on her database or whether it was that business on the internet or on Google, Chrome, whatever the case might be. So she was actually doing some helpful work for us. I mean, all along I'm thinking, you know, I'm fresh, I'm, you know, what is she doing? But if I had just asked, you know, it would have solved that problem real quickly. But so again, it's different at different styles of personality, different styles in the workplace, and taking advantage of those. And now we had somebody that we could count on to pull information out for us as we were having these conversations and make the conversations even more meaningful.
And, you know, it goes back to communication. When we like communicate, we find out what's really going on. But it's great that you did talk to her and you were able to find out what was really happening, because it could seem like she was not paying attention or doing other things and not really focused on engagement on the conversation that was happening in the meeting. But being able to see that she was really foreshadowing of, oh, I want to do this, I want to get more research on this so we can really have more meaningful conversations. And that's what it's about, the communication factor.
Absolutely. And that's a big, you know, that word I think is overused. I think you probably, if you Googled it, you'd probably get 500 million, billion hits on it, but it's such a critical element. And once you can get that down, which isn't simple, then you can start building on trust with your teams. You can start having constructive conflict. You can focus on more commitment and get better results. But until you figure out that communication piece, and that's, you know, we were talking before the show started about the DISC assessment. That's a tool that can really, really help in that regard. And communication is tough because you have to be willing to listen, and you have to be willing to be an active listener, not just hear it. And so often, I'm feeling bad right now talking, but so often people who are talking feel like they're in control of the conversation. But it's really the person who's asking the question who's in control Let the other person answer. And it's amazing what you can learn about that person and the common ground that you can find. So yeah, you're exactly right, Dr. C. Communication is so central to it.
I believe it. And I'm glad you brought that up, the DISC up, because a lot of people might have heard of it. Some might have not. Can you explain what that is and how that you really use that tool with the work you do?
It's a great tool. And it's, well, obviously, because I use it, right? But it is a great tool because you fill out, it's about a 15-minute or so assessment that you can do online, and you answer the questions based on where you are in life. So it's not like your boss telling you who you are or a spouse or a partner telling you who you are. It's you telling you who you are. And the report that I use spits out a 30-page report, actually, quite a bit of detail. There's some graphs in it as well as some text. It talks about your strengths, weaknesses, things that people should do when they communicate with you, things that people shouldn't do when they communicate you. And as you work towards the end of the document, you can actually create an individualized plan for yourself to make some improvement. And it's a tool I've used it in a lot of different types of businesses. So it's not like you have to be a certain type of business. Families do it sometimes, church groups do it, entrepreneurs do it, whatever the case might be. Any industry sector can really do it. And it brings out the truth in what people are. Matter of fact, I had a friend, Gordon, and he told me once, he said, yeah, I took that DISC assessment. It wasn't very accurate. He said, and then I gave it to my wife and she read it and she goes, Gordon, this is you exactly. This is 100% you. So sometimes we don't even, see it when we fill out the form. But yeah, and I've done a lot of exercises too and workshops and things. So there's a lot of value to it.
Oh, I completely agree. And I love that you, Gordon, your friend, was saying like, oh, that's not me. But his wife agreed that it was. And I think sometimes we don't realize too of how we're showing up or like the awareness of different aspects, but sometimes a test can show it. I think these are great tools, more so not a test, but more tools of just really understanding ourselves from a different perspective and a different outlet. And I love that you are able to utilize that with all the different businesses and companies that you work with. And I know you use another tool, DEI, as well. Can you explain what that is and how you use that?
That's generally the abbreviated use of diversity, equity, inclusion. So I think another important element is how differences make us better. We've already touched on some of that, but there are 8 billion different people in the world, as corny as that sounds. And again, it's really drawing out those strengths in each other. And that's one of the advantages of kind of going back to the DISC tool too, is it talks about your strengths. Some businesses use it to hire people because they want to find out, certain people are stronger in D, certain people are stronger I, S, and C. And if your business is weaker in an area, you want to try to find people who fill that in, as well as bringing other skills in. So you can bring people's, again, strengths together, as we've talked about, and have them understand each other so much better. The term you said too, Dr. C, awareness, really gives a strong self-awareness to who you are. I was with one, it was an IT firm, a large company located here in Wisconsin. And one of the gentlemen was talking as I went around the room at a workshop, and he said, when I was a kid, he said, I was really bullied as a youngster. I'm thinking, holy cow, this, to share in front of people, many of he just met for the first time, especially face to face. And he said, but now, he said, I have a different respect for people on my team. I had the sense that they were bullying me, but actually they were D personality styles, and a D personality is more dominant, more driven, let's get things done, let's keep moving. And he was interpreting that as being bullied rather than, okay, they have a different style than I do. I have to respect their style. Now they'll respect mine. We'll find that common ground and we'll bring our strengths together and get a lot more accomplished. So it was really, you could kind of see the switch in his mind about how he transferred that to a more positive thing than being really a negative thing in the workplace. So that's just one simple example of what can happen.
Yes. And it goes back to like the person, everyone has a different personality, and understanding too who you're working with and how we interpret our own experiences, but it has nothing to do with maybe who that person is, but it just really gives a stronger foundation when you're building a business too, of different personalities and how you can play to their strengths, or if they have certain weaknesses, what are those strengths? How can we pull that out of them or understand it to really help in the whole company in a more positive outlet?
Well, and that same young lady I mentioned with the laptop that I had a challenge with. Yeah. So I would come in the office Monday morning, and I'm an I personality style, which is very outgoing, gregarious, and maybe you can tell by the way I'm blathering on and on. But So I come in the morning, I want to talk about the Badgers or the Packers or the Bucks or the Brewers or my grandson, and I'm going on and on, standing at her doorway, and she's just like focused on her laptop. And I could walk out of there and say, oh man, she's being a BI, you know what, today, you know, what's her problem? Or I can walk out of a room and say, hey guys, she's working really hard on this report. Let's make sure we don't bother her. We'll answer the phones. We'll get the front door. Let's make sure we allow her to focus on the work that she needs to get done for us. So it's kind of that, it's never that simple, but it's that dichotomy of how do you accept it with your own personality style? And again, respect what their strengths are. So now she can get her job done and it's going to help our team again.
Absolutely. And I love that like conceptualization of it too, because it just really helps understand that people all function in different ways, but how can you function together, united as a whole company? And that can be challenging, especially with the different personality types or not really knowing. But I love that you utilize these tools to really help these companies thrive internally too and externally, because once you thrive internally, that just expands and it's contagious because everyone's doing their part. Everybody is feeling acknowledged for what they bring to the table as well. And it just really brings it so it's cohesive together.
Yes, yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely.
Very cool. Oh, I think I could talk more about that for hours. But I want to get back to when you were coaching, you were working in the schools, you were doing all these things internally for yourself and then decided to do consulting and everything else that you have going on. What was that shift to initially even start to do that?
Well, what brought it to my attention, it was, I mentioned my calendar was a challenge, but beyond that, so I started talking to some people who are also entrepreneurs and asking questions about, you know, when should I do it? What should I do? How should I handle this? What's, you know, and one comment that really stuck in my mind, and I was talking, he said, whose dream do you want to live? And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Now, you can still live your dream by working for a business or a company or organization. You can be an intrapreneur. That's a new word I just learned in the last few months. But I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I wanted to live my dream. And I left the best job I'd had in my career. I've had 17 different jobs in my career. And I left the best one I've ever had to jump into this solopreneurship, which was a big risk. But again, it really felt some people get stuck in a job. Some people maybe go on to career, but I felt like I was moving into my calling with building my solopreneurship and really focusing on adding value to other people. People would compliment me once in a while that, you know, I'm a good speaker or that kind of, and I like, whatever. And then I started that self-awareness. I started kind of focusing on me a little bit, which sounds selfish, but it's important to do. And realizing that, you know, I think I have a gift here and I really want to work to pull that out. And that's what I did. I thought the only way I'm going to do it is jump. My girls, my four daughters, that's who I have the hair color it is. My four daughters are all in the workforce. One's finishing up a master's degree. So they were in a good position. And I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do this and make a run for it and find my calling and kind of build a legacy and let my kids know that no matter where you are in life, no matter what stage you're at, do what you want to do. Do your calling. Do the thing that's going to make you want to get up on Monday morning and go into work like we've been talking about. So that was kind of the, and I knew I had the 4 or 5 years, the solid background with Maxwell Leadership. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of Simon Sinek, Patrick Lencioni, Matthew Kelly, who's a religious writer, all sorts of different people. So I felt I had the content base there. I knew I had some of the skill set to do it. It's like, let's do it. And I've had some failures. I've made some mistakes in the last year and a half, but it's been a great journey.
And that's what it's about, right? Just being able to take that leap, and you don't know what the future holds, but you had already done a lot of the groundwork, like it sounds like, just of reading and really absorbing information from John Maxwell and Simon Sinek and all these other incredible authors and writers, but being able to have that foundation and the training to start making your way into that. And I love that you explained this earlier too, of just the calendar. It was starting to really not balance out of like, okay, I'm having all these opportunities and I have the best job I've ever had, but where that like line was like being able to live the dream that you want to live and knowing that it's never too late to do something different or shift gears, because I think that's important. There's enough time. If you want to do it, you can do it. It's just taking that action step. So when you started to really go full force into entrepreneurship, solopreneurship, what were some of the obstacles you faced in the last year and a half of really taking a full ride into that?
Well, one is, and you probably know this too, Dr. C, that it's 24/7, 365, right? It's, you know, it's got to happen when it happens. And sometimes that can impact your personal calendar, your life and all that. So the other aspect for me being a solopreneur, and I haven't advanced yet enough technologically in my business to have it work when I'm sleeping. So if I'm out doing my craft, if I'm out speaking, if I'm out doing a workshop, I'm not marketing myself. And when I'm marketing myself and sending emails and things out to people, I'm not making money doing my craft. So it's kind of that yin and yang that I noticed as well. And then one of the best things that happened to me was I was doing a training for some workshops. They were virtual. We started planning on it before COVID. And then when COVID hit, we jumped to virtual. But we were in there were a total of four different sessions we were going to have. And each time I had to teach it three times because of the number of people. So we're in the third lesson, so to speak. And I was with the first group and we got off and the HR director calls me and said, Todd, I got a couple emails and it just didn't hit. Your content didn't hit with them. So I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, I'm like, this is my life, right? Doing these workshops. And, you know, you feel crushed initially. But then I really relied on my core values. I've done some work in core values in that area and did some exercises. And I really leaned back on my core values, and they're optimism, trust, honesty, enthusiasm, and teamwork. Really leaned hard on those. Got together with the HR director, her committee, and the other person I was working with. We came up with a new plan, went back, and then taught those sessions, taught the fourth one. And we were done. It was interesting because the HR director kind of apologized to me for it happening. And I said, no, it was a great lesson for me. I learned a few things about, you know, the way I was presenting and the content and what they needed, you know, and also was, you know, sometimes you got to take those, as I said before, those hits on the side of the head to understand you might need to make a little bit of a shift or tweak in your business.
Absolutely. And I think too, it's hard to digest that, but it only helps us get better and see it from a different perspective, because the audiences can be a little bit different depending on who we're training, what the situation is, what the lesson is. But I love that you didn't let it stop you. You just were able to, okay, what do we need to do? Let's change it. Let's make it better in the way that needs to be delivered for this type of audience as well and in the training. So I appreciate you being very transparent about that situation, because I think a lot of us go through that. Like, I know I've done trainings where I'm like, oh, that was like not my best, but like I've been able to tweak it and get better each time. But it just gives us feedback in a good way of, okay, keep doing what you're doing. But as entrepreneurs, we're always evolving and growing, and so is our work. And I'm curious, because I know you've given a lot of trainings, a lot of speaking, coaching. What has been maybe one or two client success stories that you can share with us today?
Well, one was I worked with a meat manufacturing business, and they brought me in to work with one of their staff members on a culture team. I mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't really had a lot of experience in specifically, you know, this type of work. I've done a lot of teams and culture and all that. So it's kind of my first venture out into that. So we, you know, I had a proposal to their executive leadership team and all that, put together agendas and started working through it. And interestingly enough, the other person was a C personality style, which is opposite from an I. So we learned how to work together, how to bring our strengths together to make this happen, and started it just about 2 years ago. Well, after about 9 months, I worked my way out of a job, which is what I wanted to do, because I wanted it to be their culture team. I helped them get it set up. It took about 9 months or so. And as we worked through it, the other staff member kind of took over more, facilitating other workshops. So we had a really nice transition. And actually, they invited me to come back on June 1st to be kind of a guest presenter to the culture team. So often in businesses, you hear these new, you know, fandangled hot things that are going on, and after 6 months they wither away. Well, this one's been going on now, it'll be 2 years in July, and it's really and especially for me, having stepped away now for over a year and see that it's still moving, it makes me feel good. It wasn't all me, but it certainly makes me feel good that I put that program together. Now I just got word yesterday that I'm going to be starting another one with a home manufacturer. They want to do the same concept. So I think people are starting to understand, as you and I have talked, Dr. C, about the value of culture in the workplace and getting input from different generations, you know, different kinds of diversity, equity, and all those sorts of things.
Absolutely. What an incredible journey for that company, but also it's contributing to the work that you were helping put in place for them, for their company, but also that it's consistent and it has like that results, the results outcome for what you were able to do, what they were able to transition that once you did leave, and it's still going strong. And it's amazing you got another company to work with as well, but you're right. People are waking up to that concept of culture and how important it is, especially for the younger generations coming into the workforce, of how we can really work together versus against each other, but it's really bringing everyone together.
And one of the complaints that people in the workforce were sharing with the culture team was, oh, this is going to be another one of those things, right? Again, like we said, that kind of hot thing, the new thing out there, you know, and it's really endured. And it's been fun to see that.
Yeah, what an incredible journey. And thank you for sharing that. It's always so cool to hear like what you've been able to accomplish, but also for others to hear too, of what is possible for their company and that what's being in place there in that moment for the company to continue to grow and thrive and transpire and be able to have that solid foundation. Because the program, from what I'm hearing too, is it is a solid foundation and you're just continuing to build upon it. Once you do leave, they're still doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's another company too, you know, oftentimes when you're on the executive leadership team, you think, well, hey, I'm a leader now. I've got this title and I've got people working for me, which is never the right attitude. But anyway, you know, and I don't need this. Well, I was working with a company and it's a program called Live to Lead. And we showed it to, I think, about 30 or 40 of their middle managers at a manufacturing company. It was a great, great exercise. They really appreciated it. And I was talking to the HR person and she goes, you know, we're kind of thinking of what to do next. And I said, well, think about this. Your middle managers who just went through this training are probably looking at the executive leadership team and saying, they're the ones that need more training. And she kind of looked at me and goes, well, yeah, you're probably right. So we're actually going to do a DISC program. There's eight on their leadership team. They're going to go through the DISC. I do then one-on-one meetings with each person on their DISC profile. Then we're going to do a group workshop where we'll have them, you know, share with each other. And then I'm hoping that the next step will be doing some study like John Maxwell just came out with a new book, The 16 Undeniable Laws of Communication. So maybe we'll do a study of that, not an academic study, but use it as a framework to have some conversations with that leadership team about the challenges of communication in their workplace and what are some things they can do to shift it based on some of the things that John's talked about in his book. So, you know, it really doesn't matter what level you are in an organization. You always need to be, and you know this, but you always need to be learning about leadership and growing and reading and masterminds and all those different things.
Yeah, because if we don't continue to learn and grow, we're going to stay stagnant. And just like what you're saying, like we could always learn something from someone. I'm a firm believer in that as well. And I love that you're able to help like working with the executive leadership team as well, because I think it's middle managers understand it. They're seeing it from the top down in like different capacities. But a lot of times when you're really high up, you don't always see everything that's going on in the day to day, just from like my experience in leadership and other capacities and just hearing stories from others as well. But I do agree. It's just the more knowledge we can obtain and apply, the more growth can happen. And we can really see differences in just tweaking certain things. Little things can make such a big difference too.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm so curious because I know you've had a lot of experience just with leadership and everything that you've been up to, but especially this last year and a half for you, what has been like two or three tips that have been really would have been beneficial for you to know in the beginning that you know now, or that you had to learn along the journey?
Well, I think one is this, it sounds so simple, but it's really not easy. And that's figure out your priorities and create habits. I need to do a much better job at that. My word for the year, I always pick a word each year, and it's consistency. Because again, you know, talking about marketing and working on your business, getting the word out, it's really important to be consistent and create those habits. And it means carving out the right amount of times if it's a priority, right? We all have to-do lists, but until something appears on our calendar, it really isn't a priority. And then we have to make it a habit. So I get up in the morning, I've got from 6 till 7 o'clock, I've got some habits that I work through. At the end of the day, I've got some habits and throughout it. So I'm trying to build more and more habits. So it just becomes like you know, you wake up and you brush your teeth, kind of a habit. Just this is what I'm going to do. So that's something. And I guess I kind of knew that beforehand, but that is really, I think, a simple but not easy part of your life. The other thing that I've learned is the value of surrounding yourself, your inner circle, with the right people. I've got two different times a week. Matter of fact, in a couple hours, I'm meeting with a gentleman. We've met once a week for half an hour for several years now, and we kind of have an accountability group. Mm-hmm. And we have consequences. We bet on our accountability, and we've pretty much been even throughout the whole thing. But someone who, you know, that in a week I have to report back on those priorities and habits and how am I doing on them. And then there's another group I get together with. It's three other gentlemen who are all solopreneurs. And we do a similar thing. One person is put on the hot seat for 45 minutes, and whatever topic they want to talk about related to their business, and then we kind of grill them and also support them. And then the next time they get the 15 minutes to kind of give a recap on what they've done the last week, and a new person's on the hot seat. So we just keep cycling through that over the course of a year. That's once a week for an hour. So, you know, it's an hour and a half of time, but it's an hour and a half of time well spent. And particularly when you're a solopreneur, I don't have people in the office, you know, kind of checking in on me and seeing, you know, how I'm doing. So that accountability with consequences coming from your priorities and habits, I think it makes a great combination to get more things done.
It absolutely does. I mean, those are like phenomenal. And I think so imperative, even if they seem like simple, like, yeah, have habits, have priorities, but actually putting that into action can be right. So different, especially when you're starting. And I like still have to like check myself as well. You were talking about having it in your calendar, having it as a priority. That's what I was thinking. Calendar, have it written down, have it so I can see that this is important. Even though I know it's a habit, like I don't write down, brush my teeth. I just know to do it. But like what you're saying, it's just those things that can really make so many things happen for you if you're just consistent. Like what you were saying, your word for the year is consistency. And I think that is just such a important aspect of entrepreneurship, because you're not going to make any waves if you don't stay consistent and are putting in things into place that are priorities to move your business forward. But the second one about the accountability, I love that you have those two groups, like the one with the one individual and the other group as well, because that's a huge part of having people in your corner. It's so important to have people that understand where you're coming from, but are going to challenge you to get better and grow. And that's what it's about. Like, I love building communities like that, because I think it allows us to connect and understand. We're not trying to, well, you're grilling each other, but in a good, positive way. Right. But understanding that it's there to support you and see you grow and help you and tweak things that are going to help you become better and more efficient in whatever you're doing. But I love the setup too. It's just like the 45 minutes of really understanding what the person's saying, what they're doing, and then the 15 minute recap in the beginning of that session. But you're right. It's that time and prioritizing what is going to help you and see those results. It's the process, but it's also getting results too.
You know, what drives me crazy is, and I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this, but four-letter word, busy, yeah. That word just drives me crazy, because it has nothing to do with achievement. Everybody's busy, right? It's like a contest. You know, like how many events can we take our kids to at night, right? I was really busy last night. I had to take my daughter, blah, blah. But what are you achieving? And more in your work life or your entrepreneur life, what are you achieving? Not your activity that's really going to make a difference. That's exactly what you were saying, Dr. C. That's where the rubber meets the road. And these guys on these Wednesday calls, it's really helped me focus in on my message again, because they're challenging me, and they're like, their faces are in the camera, but in a good way. I know they're looking for the best for me. But if you don't have people doing that accountability, like you said, it really makes it tough to keep falling forward.
It does. It really does. But I'm glad you have that. And I hope everyone listening has that too, if you don't get one. And I'm just really curious, because I know you have such a big mission. You're helping so many people. But what drives you to really be able to help all these individuals that you're helping, all these speaking engagements, trainings, everything you do? You do a lot, so it's mouthful. But what really drives you to do all these things?
I'm glad you didn't say you're busy, but
I caught myself.
There you go. You know, it's really the little things. There's somebody that I know who's handicapped, works from his home, has a good job. He's going through some cancer treatments, And I do a lot of posting on Facebook and LinkedIn and all that. And every once in a while, he'll send me a Facebook message and say, "Hey, Todd, thanks. I really needed that to get through chemo." And I'm like, you know, what else do you need? I mean, you know, what else do you need? And other people will make a high school classmate of mine, about every 3 or 4 weeks, she'll say something about one of my Facebook stories. And it's just like those little nuggets of, you know, or you walk, you know, walking through the grocery store and you'll see somebody and say, "Hey, Todd, you know, it's great seeing all your posts," you know, those little things, just, they mean a lot to me, because it's like, as an I personality style, I do need a little bit of attention. And, but I know that I'm making an impact. And when I speak in groups of, you know, hundreds or thousands, I know my message isn't going to resonate with everybody, but I know it's going to resonate with someone in that audience, at least one person who needs to hear that message. And everybody who's listening has a message they can share. And there are people out there that need your message. So just keeping that in mind, it's like, okay, who's the next person I can impact? Who's the next person I can impact? And that's, you know, adding more value to others than I receive. That's really kind of what keeps me going.
Well, I so appreciate you sharing all that and the mission that you're on of helping people. And just even if it's a simple post, that really has so much weight of being able to help people and understanding the impact that you're making on not just yourself and those around you, but also everybody that you speak to in your trainings and your speaking engagements. Just even if the message doesn't hit them right then and there, it might a few years later, you never know.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much, Todd, for coming on today, sharing your journey with us. Where can people find you, use your services, get you to speak for them as well? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Well, I hide out in my basement, so I'm hard to find. That's where my home office is. But no, you take my first name and last name, put it together, .com. That's my website, toddkuchan.com. Emails, todd@toddkuchan.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook. I will respond unless you're trying to sell me, you know, a seven-figure income that'll happen in 3 months. Those I don't respond to as quickly. But no, I love to chat with people, get on a Zoom call, podcast, whatever the case might be. And maybe something will come of it, but at least we'll make a new friend.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Todd, for coming on, just sharing your journey, everything that you're up to, and really making such a difference in companies with leadership, and just really being able to use your voice to make such a big difference for a lot of people in this world.
Well, thank you for this platform, Dr. C. Appreciate it very much. You're helping a lot of people.
Thank you. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Todd today? He gave so much insight. I'm sure he would love to see that comment, and we will see you on the next episode.